You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Erin Bauer. Now we are talking.
Listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
It's May 28th, 2010. We're at the European Design Awards Conference and our first guest is Erin Bauer. Welcome. The first question is there such a thing as European design?
Yes. Should I go further or is it enough?
Please explain.
No, this was a part of the answer. No, there is European design in that sense that European designers meet. That's for me European design. That's a special thing of the European Design Conference, that this multinational meeting is something very special. And that's for me my vision of European design. It's not addicted to style or something. It's more connected to the people, the European idea.
But what is that? What do you mean by the people and the Europe? What is the European idea?
The European idea is one big community with different approaches, different national attitudes, and different views on Europe and the world. And it's very interesting to exchange these political, social, cultural specialities.
And can you define, can you put your finger on what is exact, what is sort of overlapping, what is sort of general for all European design?
In comparison to what?
Maybe Asian or American.
Is there one common view, or is there not one common view, but is there certain things?
I think we have a longer cultural tradition where we can deal with, and I think we have a longer existing roots in our culture. Of course, Chinese have as well, but they cut it off. So we can refer to a lot of cultural things, codes, iconic things, and that's a basic basis for our visual communication and our tools we use. And so it's, in a way, highly developed. And I think that's something European.
Even in comparison, for example, to Greece, I'll take extremes, like, for example, Portugal to England or Greece to Austria.
But I thought
Austria.
Greece was in Europe.
Yeah. But even though there are
so many extreme differences.
I was just talking about the main connection and the red line or something. There are differences, of course. If we want to talk about the differences in Europe, then we should talk about every country, because I think Great Britain has its own tradition, Greece has its own tradition, and every country has its own approach. We should pick out one and
talk
about it.
For example, Austria?
Austria, when we pick out Austria, Austria has, in terms of visual communication, a long tradition because arts design has been a part of our society for a long time, but then there were sudden breaks and big holes where there was nothing, like vacuum. For example, in graphic design in between 1930 and 1990, where there was nearly nothing exceptional, outstanding design was missing. So we refer to the culture 100 years back, and now we get the awareness of that again, that Austria has been a great country of visual communication, because we had a lot of people like all over Europe, maybe that's something in common, which had to leave Europe because of the Third Reich, and this was a kind of heavy thing also to graphic design in Austria. And now, since something like 10 to 15 years, a new emerging scene is coming up, and it's very interesting because younger designers refer to their roots and are aware of that national cultural good.
Isn't it also because of the central location? You're really like a cross-link between Western countries and Balkan countries and Eastern countries, and you're sort of right there in the middle making the connection with North and South and East and West.
Of course, some of the politicians and sociologists say that the roots and the connections, like the ancient network from 1900 or before, never was really broken. Even when we think of the Iron Curtain, which it was really, really cut through. But now when it's opened again, the old network is still there. There is, of course, a reason why Austrian companies went to Eastern Europe, and the most successful and powerful companies are Austrian companies in Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, and so on. And so now the connections were made again. And that's an interesting thing, because now our scope is different. Our scope is widened again, and Austria is a tiny country, but it's something like an angle to and a gate to Eastern Europe. And that's I have the feeling that this is also a special thing in design, because when I think back 10 years, I knew nobody from these countries. And now we have people working in our studio from the Eastern countries, attending to work for us. So when it opened up again and people attend to work for us, but we have a lot of network collaboration projects for the design scene, which we initiated in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And of course, all of them, like Hungary, Czech Republic, or Slovenia, they're all invited. And they're now part of my network, which they were not 15 years ago. So this is a big change, and I love it, because you can go for Prague for 3.5 hours from Vienna, and it's no distance. And then you're in a different country, but there are still similar things which are very close to our feelings, because we know it. We know these, we know the food, we know the cultural thing, we know architecture, we know the music, we know nearly everything, because it was part of this region. It's Central Europe. Central Europe is back again.
And a completely different question. You also studied agricultural studies.
Yes.
Is that your first study?
That was my first study and profession.
Yeah. And how come you went into that direction, and why did you change to design?
In our family, only my parents were part of the working class. My father went to steel factory, and my mother is a baker. And all the other relatives of our family are into the agricultural thing. They are working in the mountains and having cows and forests and so on. So my parents thought of sending me to that school because I should do something useful, because design, nobody knows what it is. They are drawing some nice images, pictures, a painter. Painter is always poor, you know. 20 years ago, this was really a risky thing to go that direction. So they thought of giving me something to survive, let's say. And first, I didn't understand it. And now when I look backwards, it's very interesting, because I got a lot of this down-to-earth things transformed from agriculture into design. Because I think our design is much very experimental, but on the other hand, down-to-earth, it works. And it has a total relationship to reality, not only a self-reference onto design. And that's something what I got out of agriculture. And also the thing that when you have nothing to do, nothing in resources, you have to do something out with that, with nearly nothing, with a rope and a stick, and you have to make it running, then you have to be really innovative and creative. Most of the farmers are really innovative, because they have to find combinations of tools or structures or raw material which get out with a simple twist something new. And I think that's also something what happens in good design, that you get really creative twisting solutions with nearly nothing. And that's the most I think that's the best thing, and the most difficult thing at the same way. And I think our design is in a way like this.
And is that a specific Austrian quality, this down-to-earthness? Is that a specific Austrian quality, or specifically of you and the people you work with?
I think it's a quality of our team and me, and not typically Austrian. Mm. You have sophisticated design in Austria as well, of course. You have different directions, but that's our direction we have chosen.
Mm. But how did you then change direction?
Because very simple. I always had in mind to do something with design, because I did some posters for concerts and so on while doing this agricultural school. But then it never went or faded away. It was always there that I wanted to do something with design. And so I attended, on the one hand, to the agricultural university, and on the other hand, I tried to pass the entrance exam on the University of Applied Arts, but I never expected to do that because all these great artists with they were totally weird dressed and they have these big pieces of art carrying with them, I thought. And I had a small, tiny thing with 10 papers or something, and I thought, no chance, I will never make it. And so I already started to study at agriculture, and then they took me, surprisingly. I passed the entrance exam, and so I switched.
Was it hard to explain that to your parents, to convince them that it was a good decision for your life?
We had discussions, yeah. And a long time, my mother always wants the best, of course, and then she, does it work? And she had a bit of a fear, and my father, he was a bit silent, I would say. But then after a while, they understood what this profession is about, and now they are, yeah, they don't have any problems because I got Austrian of the Year, which was, I was really published by every magazine and newspaper, and now they're really proud. And they even realized that this is not only a profession to which is interesting, but you can also make your living off. It's always this thing.
And was it your intention to have a bigger, to have a big studio? Or is it something that happened?
No, that's a good thing to talk about here because we're in the Netherlands. And I've been, during my studies, I went to the Netherlands and wanted to study here because I thought Breda, the holy grail of typography, it's great to get there. And so I looked at this, tried to attend to the school, and then it was not possible. I don't remember why. There were no student exchange programs at that time. It was really hard because you had to pay everything for yourself, and it was quite expensive for me as a student to come here and get a flat and everything. So I went to Rotterdam and to look for the school here, which was also had also a good name. But then my girlfriend and me wanted to rent a flat, but this was really a horrible place. It was down to the harbor here in Rotterdam, and it was full of rats and of drug addicts and migration background and everything, because it was cheap. We were searching for something cheap, and I thought, this is the Netherlands. I can't believe it. So we went back because it was poor and too expensive for us, but maybe we didn't look at the right place because we weren't so good informed. And then I thought, okay, not studying, finishing the university, and then I came back and applied in different studios. I went to UNA, I went to Form 5, I went to Dumba, and I went to Total Identity, and they convinced me to work for them, first to Starsche, and then they kept me. So I've been here for 1 year. So this was more or less the beginning of the relationship with the Netherlands. And yeah, your question was, did you want to run a big company? This was a big company, mm-hmm. or is still a big company, Total Identity, and it sharpened my mind to be there, so I knew what not to do and what is good for me, because not everything is good for everybody. So I thought, 5 people at least, that's it, don't get bigger, which was okay for the first 10 years. But then we developed, went further and further, and the projects which we were asked for got bigger, and we thought of, yeah, how can you manage to be professional on one hand and on the other hand be a very small team? So you have to be really specialized, and our problem is that we have a really broad scope of different fields we work in, and at a certain extent it got really interesting to make bigger things, because I think design gets very interesting when you can move something and in society change things. And sometimes you need the power of a bigger team to move a bigger thing. And that's what I'm interested in. It could be a tiny thing where you can move something and change attitudes, change minds and the view on things. Or sometimes you need a bigger thing. If you make a big orientation system for a city, for example, you can't do it with 2 persons. It's impossible. You need the power of architects, of city planners, mm-hmm. logistic guys, and so on. So if you decide to go for that, for example, in that field, then your team gets bigger. So we grow slowly, so very, very safe. because I'm a person who takes no financial risks. I want to sleep good. I don't need a big credit and stuff like that. No, it's not credit. What's it in English?
Yeah.
Loans. No. What's it called when you take money?
Loan.
Yeah, loan.
Loan. I don't want to sleep with big loans. So we just grew slowly, but now we're growing again. Maybe we are 12. Maybe it gets further. I don't have a problem at the moment with growing.
But also the multidisciplinary aspect, is that has to do with the total design, or is that was a...
No. I think it's also a different approach than... Of course, I like the idea of corporate design as it was thought in the 60s by Total Design. Mm-hmm. This original idea is really great. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has influenced me, but we went one step further, because now it's not only... multidisciplinarity, it's 360 degrees. Our attitude is more related on to be independent from different media. It's not this holistic approach from Total Design, mm-hmm. which is we want to control every form. That's not what we think. We think we want to go in every media and to be flexible. It's a totally different approach. Of course, the times are different. It's now 50 years ago, the first idea of that corporate design approach. It's top-down. And we are the other way around. We are down to top. And it's, in a sense, it's not so simple, because it's not there you have the designer and there you have the interior department, like it was at Total Design. It's you have totally different specialists with which also can work in different fields. They are not only programmers, they are also conceptionists, or also text guys at the mm-hmm. same time. So our people are always between different fields. For example, our architects, they can also think in visual terms. Or our visual designers, they also can think in social media, for example, or whatever. So it's more a big family of different disciplines, which make, I would describe it as a circle or something. So it's different philosophy.
How important are design awards or competitions for you?
Very simple answer, something like 15 years, which we were just working, and we were not telling somebody that we are the best or something, or shouting out that there is a gold medal or something, because we didn't attend to competitions. But then times changed, I would say, and there are more and more designers everywhere in Europe. And we looked at this, at the scope of designers, and a lot of them got prizes, and some weird prizes, which are worth nothing, or they were really shouting loud that the clients came and they said, oh, I got a designer, another one, and he has won such a prize, and it was a prize somewhere in the province, which is worth nothing. And so we decided to try it, and 2 years ago we decided to attend a very important competition to see what happens. And then we won really everything. So last year we were the most awarded design agencies in Austria. And of course we use it now. And on the one hand, it's interesting to find out where you are in the international level. What's your level? That's interesting. It's kind of sports, of course. And on the other hand, it's of course an industry. You have to face it, that it's a kind of business model. On the other hand, if you look at the Red Dot Design Award, it's expensive. It's worth its money, I would say, because it's a good name. But on the other hand, of course, the designers are used by the competition companies, if they're organized like Red Dot, for example, because they want your money. So you always have to know if you really need it or not. We are now trying it, how it works, but of course we use it in our communication strategy to show up with these awards, to convince existing clients that we are the best, or to get new ones. Because I think these prizes are good for one thing, is that you're not running after clients every day and asking for jobs. It's easier that it turns around and comes by itself.
They come to you.
Of course, they did also in the past, but since the competition grew harder, it was harder to let it flow, because 20 years ago, nobody knew a graphic designer, so they came over, you know a graphic designer? And then one told, there is this Erwin Bauer, I know, maybe Rudolf can give you his number, and so on. And then they came to me and they said, ah, I have a graphic designer, let's start. Though there was no question, is there another one? Is the quality okay? Is the price okay? They were just happy to find any graphic designer in Austria. And now it's totally different. Now they know, everybody knows a graphic designer in different quality levels. And so you have to separate. So because we are somewhere where the air is very thin, and there we have really to make a separation in between the designer around the corner who is just hacking his laptop and something is spilled out.
Yeah. I'm also asking because you can question the value of design competition and with a different client, different circumstances. It's very hard to compare design projects by different studios, I think. What is your view?
That's very hard, especially because of the designers, because they try to get out of this possibility of comparison because they make project and job descriptions which are totally different. So you can't compare it like when you construct a building which is normed and then you look what is the cheapest profile for the windows. That's easy because there is a system behind it. But designers are every day trying to get out of the system because that's their job, to go beside each other or take a bypass or whatever. So that's really hard for the clients. And there are some strategies to escape from them, from that. There's a very interesting project in Austria, which is now funded because I'm sometimes in juries where Creative Industries is funded. And a group of designers invented a kind of community where the designers are judging other designers. So you have a kind of official judges in a pool. And you can hire, as a client, a professional judge, which tells you if you got the right designer or if it is a good design in comparison to other designs. So there is already the need for judging different things. And of course, design competitions can help you that, we won last year the state prize in Austria. If you win the state prize, nobody asks you anymore if the quality is not okay, because then it's for sure. Mm. So therefore, the competitions are quite good, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's easy.
You said that you were Austrian of the Year.
Yes.
What does that mean, and how did that affect you? I mean, were you?
It's a very interesting thing because big newspaper and the broadcasting channel, the state broadcasting station, have a competition every year, and it's called Austrian of the Year. And the interesting thing is there are different categories. And one of the categories, of course, economy is the most important. We are driven by economy. And then you have cultural management. And then you have design, which is the whole bunch of creative industries. And then you have social activities. Then you have other things I forgot. But the interesting thing of this is that the design section is existing. I think some years ago they didn't even know that this could be an important thing for our culture. And that's the good thing, because when I went on stage I said this prize is for the design community, it's not for me, because people get aware of design, and just normal people, everybody, like the CEO of any big company, they see that there is an Austrian of the Year who is a designer, and that's very good. That was the most important thing of that prize. For me, it was good, but this is the most important thing. And that's one of the things we are working as a studio on, because our studio is a kind of ambassador of design, because we want to make design that people are aware of the power and the impact of design as a social activity to all of our lives.
Did people recognize you on the street?
No, I'm not a pop star.
No.
And I'm happy about that.
Your studio in Vienna is in an old dairy factory, I read.
Yes.
I was wondering about the system in the studio. Are you more of a manager now, or do you still do the groundwork, the design work? And what is your preference?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
But you know that.
No, I don't.
We read it. We've got the answer here.
Yeah, we're just checking if you get the right answer.
But to be curious is the good a good motivation for good questions. Mm-hmm. That's the point in the question already, because if you want to be professional on the one hand and experimental on the other hand, it's something which doesn't work, I would say, because you need time to be professional. Of course, we have a good structure, like perfect office management, perfect controlling, stuff like that. We have a special person which is only doing the archive and writing text and stuff like that. So we got this basic settlement for a professional office structure like in every normal company. It's not a chaos design office. It's really very well organized. If somebody calls and he wants to know any price or any production situation, there is a person or two persons which are competent in this and he gets information. So that's not my job. I just look over the new offers and stuff like that and say, okay, you know, a bit left, a bit right, that's it. So on the one hand, this management part is a bit away from me. And I would say a good term for me would be creative director. Of course, I'm the financial director as well. But creative director is a good description in the best sense of the word, because all the ideas are developed together in a big team. So the first attempt, the first approach to a new job is we're sitting all together and we're talking about the basic ideas and it's mounted on the wall. And it's the idea of a senior designer, it's the idea of anybody who makes stage, and it's an idea of me, maybe, I don't know. And then it gets into the process, and of course the designers are much deeper into that detailed work of any design. But if I'm really into a job, like I've shown it in the lecture, I'm doing the calligraphy and doing the design as well and building mock-ups, why not? I don't want to miss that, because if you lose the contact to this handcrafting design things, or even if you do a website or whatever, you lose a lot of fun, I think. I don't want to lose that.
Oh, the economic recession. Has that affected your studio?
Our studio has a very wide scope with different fields. We are in the field of branding, corporate strategic planning. We are in the field of museums and exhibitions, really doing exhibitions. We are in the field of orientation and information design, like way showing, and also in digital senses like iPhone applications and so on. We are in the field of tourism, of packaging, wine, food. And we are doing self-initiated projects in the community, connecting national and international designers together. So, and I'm writing and stuff like that, and I'm teaching. So, you know, it's really a huge scope. So, on the one hand, it didn't hit us, because in every field we get jobs still. And on the other hand, we have to be careful, because our free projects or our writing projects or our self-initiated projects cost a lot of money. So it's more a general problem that we keep the balance in between paying clients and costing clients, which we invented by ourselves. So that's more our studio problem, because we are convinced of investing money in design research, in publishing, in creating our own things. That's very, very important for us. But on the other hand, we have to get money back with big projects, which we love as well, of course, and we can show up with every result. But that's more our problem. I wouldn't say problem, special economic situation, because we are kind of luxury company in this case. But there is a recession, of course. That's for sure.
We are Type Radio, so there's the one typeface that you designed that it's on my phone, the Reclame stencil typeface. Yeah. That was for a project that I gathered.
Yes, that's right. The Reclame has a nice, interesting story. Like every project has a story in our studio, because it comes directly out of the content, so the design follows the content, I would say. It's not an outstanding solution of form, but it has a reason why it is like this. Although it is individual in the end. And the Reclame is based on a magazine header of the 30s, which was the golden times of graphic design in Austria, where we had a known magazine on graphic design and advertising, which disappeared again, and we never got one again. So, you know, that's the tradition of Austrian graphic design. Maybe we should open up a magazine. We make a new magazine, maybe. And we looked at it, and it was the perfect formal conclusion for these times. So we took this typeface and we compared it to the Futura stencil, because it's close. But we found out that the Futura stencil is very badly made, and a lot of details are not straight, because the idea of building a typeface with basic elements like a square, a triangle and a circle was left when the combinations or the characters got too complicated. They gave up and made something ugly, which had a lot of mistakes in formal aspects. And so we were really strict, and we made it totally new out of these headers, because the typeface in detail had some nice specialities, also ligatures and stuff like that. The numbers are really, really nice now. And we rounded the edges because of these reference to printing in wood, for example, or printing on rough paper, which was done in the 30s a lot. So it got its own character, and I would say this typeface is not only a typeface, it was the image of the whole campaign to the exhibition we made, Struggle for the City, exhibition about the 30s in Vienna, and also used for the exhibition itself, because we had a huge amount of objects, like 2,000 objects, which is really too much for an exhibition, although it was really a big space. But we had to come up with a very simple concept. So the exhibition is more or less, every room has colored containers, I would call it. So like spaces where you can fill in the objects as much as you want. And it's carried by these containers. And then you can't add on a lot of sophisticated graphics. You need something strong and simple. And so we just put a headline on top of these containers, and it transported all the character we needed, and it was totally simple. And that was the reason, because we invented this typeface. And this week I got from Volcano Tribe, I got the check, the bill. Mm-hmm. It's already selling it. I don't get rich, but it's nice to see that it's also seen in the rest of the world.
Any more plans for typeface? Or will that sort of depend on projects that need a specific typeface?
Yes, I would say so, because I'm not into working for 2 years on a reading typeface, because I already did it, because my first 2 years of education on the university were writing like a monk, which was really helpful, and I learned a lot. But in the end, I decided more to go into the direction of integrated design. So we did already a lot of typefaces for all the other typefaces, for example, for the Weinquartier, which is a wine shop, a big one in Austria, where we made a corporate typeface extra for this project. And I'm sure it will come very often in future, because it's a powerful tool to connect, to link things together.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you too.